Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Tzadi Dal. We're on Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting right in the middle of the Amud. We're starting with the words Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is giving an answer, but before Rav Ashi gives an answer, let's set up the question. We started yesterday the ninth parak of the Masechta, and this is Hagozel, Hagozel Kama, the first stealing. How many times are we going to be stealing? So we're going to be stealing twice. There's Hagozel Kama and Hagozel Basra, meaning both the ninth and tenth parakim of Baba Kama, which conclude the Masechta. So they are both dealing with Gzela. So in order to differentiate between the two Prakim, so the first one we call Hagozel Kama. I know the actual name of the parak is Hagozel Eitzim, but in parlance it's called Hagozel Kama. And then the next parak, the final parak of the Masechta and tenth parak, is Hagozel Basra. Good. So and everybody here knows that I'm speaking to an educated audience. But everybody here knows it's not really the end of the Masechta, meaning we're finishing Baba Kama. But really, the Masechta, once upon a time, was this huge Masechta made up of 30 prakim. It was called Nezikin. But what they did it, however, I don't know, when I say they did it, I don't know who did it, and I don't know when they did it, but they broke it down to bite-sized pieces. So in other words, we have Baba Kama, and Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra. Right? Baba Kama, the first gate, and Baba Metzia, the middle gate, and Baba Basra, the last gate. So, and they took this massive 30 perek Masechta, and they broke it down into units of 10 prakim. So you're going to notice, by the way, that every one of the bavas is 10 prakim, because basically it's the first third, middle third, last third. So what we're going to be concluding, well, we'll do a siyum. I mean, when I say we'll do a siyum, by the way, I don't remember the last time we did a siyum, but it's okay. Empty promise, why not? So we'll do a siyum when we finish Baba Kama, and it's a big deal to finish Baba Kama, but it's not really the end of the Masechta. It's the end of the first third. Okay, good. So participation prizes. Okay, anyway, I'm done entertaining myself. I'm probably not done entertaining myself. I'll probably go on. But in the meantime, however, we started the ninth parak of the Masechta yesterday. And in it, what we're discussing is Shinui. Okay, it's one of those fundamental topics that makes the ninth parak so popular in the yeshivas. Right? So if you learned in yeshiva, you learned Baba Kama. So what did you do? For sure, you started the first parak of the Masechta. First parak is a popular parak, having to do with categorization. And the seventh parak. Seventh parak is also immensely popular amongst the yeshiva. Those first two blot of the seventh parak, they were really challenging and really trying. So I can just imagine a yeshiva guy for the first time going through the seventh parak of Baba Kama, not really knowing why in the world are we doing this. But after those first two blot, then it becomes very yesodistic in terms of topics of yesh v'chulei. And here the ninth parak of the Masechta, also a very popular parak amongst the Bnei HaYeshiva, because in the ninth parak we get to talk about the topic of Shinui, and Shinui is an exciting topic. What is the topic of Shinui? It's very simple. And that is that you steal an item, and you make a physical change in the item, so now you have acquired the item. Now, you're a thief, by the way, which means that they're not going to honor you at any kind of dinner. So, but what it does mean, however, is that... maybe they will. So but what it means, however, is that because you made a shinui, because you made a physical change in the item, so now you've acquired the item, and now what you have to do is just simply reimburse its value. Its value based on when, so that we learned back in yesterday, that first Mishnah of the ninth parak, Shas HaGzela. You go back to the point of the Gzela, we're calling that T1, and whatever the item was appraised in value at that point in time, I mean, it wasn't exactly appraised, meaning you stole it at that point in time, but in other words, go to eBay and do it like, I don't know if you could do this on eBay. I don't go to eBay that often. I just know it exists. But in other words, go back to the history of when it was sold on that date in which you stole it. And that's going to set the amount in which you owe. So in other words, you've acquired the item via Shinui. And you're going to be paying the item based on the value of Kshas HaGzela. Good. That's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. That's perfect. Meaning, that's effectively the main point of the ninth parak of Baba Kama, at least the first Mishnah. With that in mind, so then what we discussed yesterday is that what exactly is a shinui? Meaning a shinui is a change. That part we got. But how much change do you need to make in order to register a kinyan? Okay, again, by the way, these are things that are not recommended. First of all, don't steal. And then afterwards, number two, after you stole the item, don't change the item. Okay, in other words, obviously all this falls under the category of things which you shouldn't be doing. But... the halacha recognizes a shinui, and if you steal an item and you make a shinui in the item, it's your item. Now, how much shinui are we talking about? So that's a wonderful question, and that's what we discussed yesterday. So the Gemara yesterday said, how much shinu do you need? Oh, I'll tell you how much shinu you need. You know how much shinu you need? So let's say you steal wood. So number one, you're going to shave it down into rectangular shape, otherwise known as a 2x4. And then after that, what you're going to do is you're going to build with the item. So Gemara says, you need all that shinui? You don't need all that shinui. In other words, once you shaved it down to a 2x4, isn't that going to be enough shinui? And the same thing with semer, right? Remember yesterday we talked about semer. What did you do with the semer? You took the wool. First thing you did is you dyed it. And then afterwards, after dyeing it, then what you did is you made it into clothing. You need all that shinui? Meaning, isn't the act of dyeing by itself enough of a shinui? How much shinui are we talking about? That was the Gemara's question yesterday. Yesterday we gave an answer. The answer that we provided yesterday is that, you know what our Mishnah is describing over here? You stole the actual 2x4. You stole a 2x4. It was already shaved into shape. And so now all you did is you took the 2x4 and then you made a house out of it. Well, it don't have to be that dramatic. But in other words, but you didn't change the item. It's a shinui hachozer libriaso. In other words, I put it together, I can simply undo it and return the items. So this is not a significant shinui, and it's a shinui hachozer libriaso, and so therefore does it qualify as a shinui? Minatora does not. But the Chachamim said, you know what? We want to encourage tshuva. This is what's called takanas hashavim. We're going to see this idea numerous times over here in the 9th parak, and if I remember correctly, 10th parak as well. We'll see if I'm right. But anyway, but this idea of encouragement of tshuva, so even though you can simply undo it and return the item as is, but you know what I mean? You already sold, so whatever. You're not in a place right now where you're ready to go through all that effort and all that work in order to return the item. Obviously, it's the right thing to do. So the Chachamim said, you know what? Because of Takanas Hashavim, because the Chachamim wanted to encourage Tshuva, so they allowed you to return the value of the item and not the item itself, even though it's a Shinu Echozo Libriaso. That is what we said yesterday. That was the approach of how to understand our Mishnah. So then the Mishnah is really giving an example of what kind of shinui, not a shinui min haTorah, but a shinui min haRabbanan. Good. That's all what we said yesterday. That takes us to where we are right now, Rav Ashi Amar. So picking up where we left off yesterday, 7-minute introduction, not bad. So now we're on Sadi Gemom and Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud. Rav Ashi Amar, it's the first word in the line. It's about halfway down on the Amud. Tani Dina Namishin Nidoraisa Ketani. So Rav Ashi says, no, you know what, let's not say that. Meaning, let's give an alternative answer. And that is that really our Mishnah is talking about a Shinui D'oraisa, Eitzim Vasim Kelim, so Buchni D'Hainu Shifne. So when we say that you made it into Kelim, so we're talking about a Buchni, some sort of stick, which is Shifan, which just simply means that you shaved it down. In other words, the Kli mentioned in our Mishnah just simply means a 2x4. You shaved it down to a 2x4. And Semer Vasa Begadim Namti. So the Hainu Shina Delohada. And as far as Semer, well, you made Begadim. So again, what we thought Semer making Begadim, meaning that you took the wool, you dyed it, and then you wove it. In other words, and that's two physical steps and two physical changes. The Gemara says, nah, Namti. In other words, you made it into some sort of felt. That's the way Rashi explains it. In other words, you just, all you did is you dyed it. That's all you did. Okay. So fine. So Rav Ashi gives, therefore, an alternative shot in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah could, in fact, be talking about a shinui min haTorah, a shinui she'inu chozer libriaso. It's just a question of how to interpret the Mishnah. Good. V'liban mi'avi shinui v'rimenu. So now the Gemara says, what about libun? Meaning you take something and you whiten it. Is that going to be considered a shinui, yes or no? So the Gemara says, I'm going to be challenging based on a Mishnah in Chulin. The end of the Masechta of Chulin. So you have these small parakim all dealing with little issues. I don't mean little. I said little, but that's not what I meant. What I meant was, just in other words, topics that could be covered in an entire parak. So, one of the parakim at the end of the Masechta, I believe it's the last parak in Chulin, but again, I'm going back on memory, is Rashis Agez. So Rashis Agez, so you know, when you and I have our sheep in our backyards, and so we're shearing the sheep, so the first shearings have to go to the Kohen. This is what's called Rashis Agez. It's one of the Chav Dal Manaskun, and one of the 24 gifts given to the Kohanim. So now, Rashis Agez, so it's really simple. You shear your sheep, give the first bit to the Kohen. However, like any halacha, there are shiurim. How much? How much are we talking about? So the halacha is that you have to take off a base amount, and then of that base amount, give a significant amount to the Kohen. But what exactly is the base amount? So it is, I know Rashi says it. Just a question of where he says it. Yeah. Rashi ein mitzdareif, right? See where I am in the Rashi. Did not b'shchitas chulin. Chamish rechelos goes to says kol achas manu upras chayevus brishes. I guess. Okay, so in other words, it's the shear is five sheep. You're shearing five sheep minimum, obviously, and from each one of them manu upras. Okay. I don't know how helpful that was to anybody. Anyway, the point is that there's a base amount that you need to shear in order to give to the Kohen. That's the most important point that we all need to know. Now with that in mind, so let's go over the following. The Mishnah in Chulin. So here's lo his big litna lo achit siva butter livna velo sivna chayav. So let's say you do the following, and that is you shear the sheep. Now, what you should be doing is collecting until you get to the base amount. Once you get to the base amount, then here, Mr. Kohen, here's the shearings that are going to go to you. But what you did is the following, is that you sheared a little bit and you dyed it. You sheared a little bit more and you dyed it. Now, with the dyeing, what did you do? You've acquired it via shinui. And so now what you have not done is that you have not gotten to the requisite shear necessary in order to give rashes, I guess. Okay. Again, right or wrong, I'm not sure if that it's an important point to clarify. But that's not the significant point right now in our Gemara. The point that we're gleaning right now is the following, and that is that dyeing the wool is a shinui. But what if I'm not dyeing the wool? What if we're just whitening it? We're washing it and whitening it. Is that considered a shinui, yes or no? The Mishnah in Chulin says unequivocally that whitening it is not a shinui. Now,
isn't it white to begin with?
You're speaking to somebody right now who has never owned a sheep. Nor has never sheared. So I have no... I'm assuming, yes, yeah.
No, I have friends of mine have a 5,000 acre...
Here we go. I knew this.
The wool is never white.
Okay.
It's mottled, it's different colors. It needs to be white. It's never white like a shirt.
Oh, by the way, you have what's it called? The two of you in common. Pittsburgh. There we go.
You have to white it.
Okay.
There is no
okay, good. Good. Perfect. That's what I suspected. Good. So the act of whitening the wool is not a shinui. That's the Mishnah in Chulin. So Amar Abaye Lo Kasha. Okay. So where are we right now? So we're caught because we just proposed that whitening is considered a shinui, and the Mishnah in Chulin tells us that whitening is not considered a shinui. So that's a problem. So Amar Abaye Lo Kasha. Ha Rabbi Shimon Ha Rabbanan. So Abaye says, okay, it's machlokas tanayim, d'tanya, and how do I know it's machlokas tanayim? He's going to quote a braisa. And that is gazazo, tavo va'argo im mitzaref, livno. So, if your gozes, you shear it, tavo va'argo. So, tviya is spinning, orig is weaving. So, in other words, those are definitely physical actions that create a physical change in the item. And irrevocable, and therefore that's going to be a shinui. That part's clear. But livno. But what if all we did was just whiten the wool? So Rabbi Shimon Omer, a mitzarif, a chacham, a marmer, mitzarif. So over here now, am I going to get to the requisite shear in order to fulfill the mitzvah of reishis hagez, yes or no? It's a machlokus between the tanaim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a mitzarif. So it's not going to combine. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, whitening by itself is a shinui, and therefore every time you whiten it, it's now yours, and therefore you're not going to get to the requisite shear. And according to the Chachamim Mitzarev, the Chachamim say that there is going to be considered a tzirif. So we have a machlokus between the Tanaim. Rava Amar Hava Ha Rabbi Shimon. Lokasha. Had the nafte nefutse. Ha the sarkis teruke. So Rava will tell you no. That the Brises are both going like Rabbi Shimon, meaning we don't have to suggest it's a machlokas tanaim. We can have everything going like Rabbi Shimon. And as far as the discrepancy between the two Brises, one Brisa, meaning specifically the Mishnah in Chulin, is talking about where you are no fates. No fates is simply combing it. And as far as the Brisa is concerned, sarke suruke. So in other words, you're combing it, but you're combing it with a masrek, with a comb. Right. In other words, you go. Baruch Hashem. I was just in Eretz Yisrael. So right by Har Yehuda, there's an area called the Masrek, the comb. Right. In other words, the trees look like a comb. Anyway, so in other words, it depends on how much of a physical action you do with the whitening act, and that will determine whether or not it is considered a shinui or not considered a shinui. Okay. A third answer of the Gemara: Rabbi Chiyabar Aben Amar Had Chavre Chivure Had Chavre Kavrue. It depends how much whitening are we talking about. Are you talking about just a regular wash? That's chavre chavure. Chavre chavure with a ches. That in Aramaic means you're whitening it. However, as opposed to kavre kavure. So you're whitening it with chemical additives, right? In other words, with gafris. Fine. So in other words, basically, are we talking about whitening with just a wash, or are we talking about whitening with chemical additives? So that's going to be the distinction between whether or not whitening is a shinui or not a shinui. Okay, so multiple ways of resolving the discrepancy between the Mishnah Chulin and the Braisa in terms of whether or not whitening is in fact considered a shinui. So, to which the Gemara says, Hashi Yishlam at Sevel Rabbi Shimon lo havishinui libun havishinui. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, dyeing it, meaning actually giving it a new color, that is not going to be considered a shinui, but libun is going to be considered a shinui. D'tanya. Gaz is Rishon va'argo. Ein mitzare Rabbi Shimon ben Yura ben Mishum Rabbi Shimon savo mitzareif. And here in this braisa, according to Rabbi Shimon, if I take the wool bit at a time, with every shearing of the wool, I go ahead and I dye it. So we're not just talking about whitening it, which is cleaning it. We're talking about actually dyeing it. According to Rabbi Shimon, it will be mitzareif, meaning dyeing is not considered a shinui. And now we're at a really funny place now in halacha, where dyeing it, giving it a new color, is not considered shinui, but whitening it is considered shinui. So I'm Rabbi Lokasha, I'm Rabbanan Liba de Rabbi Shimon, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Liba de Rabbi Shimon. So one approach of the Gemara is that we have multiple versions of Rabbi Shimon, meaning that we have a discrepancy of Rabbi Shimon, but we have multiple versions of Rabbi Shimon. And so therefore, it's a machlokas of later Tanaim how to understand Rabbi Shimon, the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Not an elegant answer, but that's one way to approach it. Rabbi Amar Lolam Lapligi Rabbi Nalad Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda Vishani Tseva Hol V'Yachol Avir Aide Tzafon V'Chik Tani Hasam Lo Yispik Lit No Lo Ad Shetzava Pater V'Ukimna Kedivra Akol V'Kala Ilan Delo Avar. So an alternative approach is the following, and that is some dyings can wash out and some dyings cannot wash out. So in other words, if I'm dyeing the wool, but the kind of dye where I could wash it out, in other words, it's not a strong dye, and I could just simply, it comes out in the wash, right? We see that with some of our shirts. In other words, right? I stopped owning color shirts, by the way. I don't know what happened. So, sorry, I'm just poking fun at myself. So the, but back in the day, in other words, sometimes the colored shirts, the color comes out in the wash. So if the color comes out in the wash, that's a shinu achos ala briyaso, so that's obviously not significant. On the other hand, kala ilan, everyone here knows what kala ilan is. That's the counterfeit cheles. Right, so in other words, right, it has a very similar shade, it's a very similar hue to that of Tchelis, and obviously it's not Tchelis, but it looks very similar to that. But one of the characteristics of Kala Ilan is it does not come out in the wash. And so therefore, if I'm dying with Kala Ilan, so that is in fact going to be considered a real shinui. And so it's a Metzias answer. And in other words, some dyes are weak, some dyes are strong, and the weak dyes are not considered shinui, and the strong dye is considered shinui. Okay, yeah, it's really that simple. Okay, Ad Kan, we are done with the pratim. We're done with the specifics of is dyeing a shinui, is whitening a shinui. Okay, and the various shitas of the mishnayos, the braisos, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of which aspect is considered a shinui. But now we get to take a step back, and we now get to have the larger discussion, which is shinui's kone, right? In other words, that's the point of our mishnah. That when you steal an item and you render a physical change in the item, that's irreversible. So that's considered a shinui. That's going to be kone, and you no longer have to return the item because the item now is yours. Obviously, you have to make restitution, obviously. But in other words, good. So you just simply figure its value at the time of geneva, and that's what you do. You return the value of the item, but the item itself now is with you because you were kone with shinui. That's our mishnah. And then on top of that, you can also even go one step further. What if it's a shinui achoz l'briyaso? So there could very well be a takanas hashavim, which we spoke about yesterday. I touched on it in the beginning of shiur today, and we'll talk more about it later. This idea of takanas hashavim, that even if it's not a shinui achoz l'briyaso, sorry, let's do that again correctly. Even if it is a shinui achoz l'briyaso, but still what the chachamim wanted to do was encourage and motivate you to do tshuva, and you're not ready to undo. Even though it is a big deal, it's not a big deal, but you're going to undo the whole building just to return the beam that you stole. So the Chachamim said, you know what? You get to keep it and you get to only return its value. That's a takanas hashavim, even though it's a shinui hachozer lebriaso, but that you get to keep as well. Good. That is all what we said since the beginning of the perek, and now we're on the very bottom side of Gimel Mizeis, and now the larger discussion. Is shinui kona? So based on everything I just said, the answer seems to be unequivocally, yeah, sure, she needs Konev. Not everyone may agree. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon and Yudah Beis Shammai, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shmuel, Kulu Sfir Lushin, Bim Kama Omeid. So Abaye says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a collection. And those who are familiar with Shas, those who have been in Daf Yomi long enough, you know, this is a project, a personal project of Abaye where he does this throughout Shas. Abaye collects. In other words, what he likes to see is thematic approaches in various Tanaim. What I'm going to do is I'm going to collect this Tana, that Tana, this Tana, that Tana, and I'm going to tell you that they basically all subscribe to the same idea. Abaye does this in Gan Shas. Okay, one day. Okay, again, another empty promise of mine. So one day I'll give you an exact number of how many times Abaye does it. Right now in my head, all I have is just simply a lot. He does this all the time throughout Shas. But it'd be much more impressive if I can give you a number of times that he does this. But throughout Shas, Abaye does it. So here now in today's daf, in Baba Kama, Sadi Dalid, so he's doing it, and he's lining together how many Tanaim? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five different Tanaim who all subscribe to this idea that Shinui Bimkomo Omedes. That, in other words, it does not create it. It does not create a kinyan, but rather Bimkomo, it stays put. Despite the fact you made a physical change in the item, ownership does not change. The original owner still remains the original owner. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda had Amaran. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, so been there, done that. Meaning that was by the dying of the wall, where according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, it still remains the Kohen's, and there's still going to be a mitzvah of Rishus, I guess. Beit Shammai Ma'id Tanya. Now, what about Shitas Beit Shammai? So, here we go. Nasan Lachitim Bes Nana Asan Soles. Zaysim Masim Shema Nav Navim Masim Yayin. So, Tani Chad Asrim Tanya Idak Mutarim. So, what happens? So, after soliciting a prostitute, and it goes without saying, the Torah is not condoning such activity. Okay, if I may say, if I may make the most obvious point, but however, despite the fact that the Torah doesn't condone it, the Torah at the same time, in fact, the Torah condemns this activity, but at the same time, the Torah recognizes and acknowledges that people do it, that people do solicit prostitutes. Now, if you had a prostitute living in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so let's say for the services that they render, they receive payment, and that payment was an animal. And they go to the Beis HaMikdash, and, right, this is my common quip over here by the Esnan, and that is what an awkward conversation between the Zona and the Kohen. Right, the Kohen says to the Zona, a beautiful animal, where'd you get it from? Well, it happens to be that in my line of work, I'm a Zona, and this is the payment that I received. Oh, okay. Strange conversation. And meanwhile, what the Kohen now has to do, it's not the Kohen that did it, it's the Torah that did it, and that is disqualify this animal to be brought as a carbon. Meaning, Estan Zona Asa Torah. So the Torah prohibits an Estan Zona. Also Mechir Kalev, but that happens not to be our topic. Our topic over here is Estan Zona. So if the woman received an animal for payment, and oh, by the way, that's exactly what Yehuda and the Zona, that's what he contracted her for. He contracted her for an animal. At the time, he didn't have an animal. He gave her collateral. And then at a later point in time, he did come back with the animal in order to pay her, only to discover she's no longer there. And then, talk about film noir, happened to be that it was his daughter-in-law, but that's not for now. Anyway, so what happens now is that instead of giving an animal, so what you did is that you gave her wheat, or you gave her olives, or you gave her grapes. And then what she then in turn did is that she did a shinui in those items. So now with that wheat, she had solas. Can she offer a mincha from that solas? Yes or no? It's a really straightforward question. So it really is going to be a function of whether or not shinui is kona or shinui is not going to be kona.
He gave her cash.
I understand that, but the Gemara is making even a stronger point, meaning you gave her the physical goods. What she did is she made a physical change in the physical goods you gave her, and even then, so we have one brisa that says so tenicha da asur v'tanya idach mutarim. So a discrepancy between the two brisas, and Amar of Yosef tenigur yon de me asporek. So and on terms of explaining the discrepancy between the two brisas, we're on the top of Sadidala Madalev. So Beit Shammai Oster Beit Shammai Matirin. So Beit Shammai says it's Oster, Beit Shammai says that it's Mutter. So in other words, Machlokis between Beit Shammai and Beit Shammai, whether or not Shinu is Kona, Shinu is not Kona. My time at the Beit Shammai, and here we go. Here you have now your classic drushas. So as far as Beit Shammai is concerned, Amakra, Gam Shnehem, L'rabo shinu yehem. So the gam always serves as a ribui. Whenever you have the word gam in the Torah, it's coming to be expansive. It's coming to be inclusive of what is coming to expand over here. Not just the item that was given to her, but even if you render a change in the item, that too is still going to have the status of esnan. And Beis Hillel, Amakra, Haim. Right? Now the pasuk doesn't say the actual word Haim. It says Shnehem. And what he's doing is that he's focusing on those last two letters of the word Shnehem. They. Only in their state that was given to her, only that is going to have the status of Esnan. But once you make a physical change in the item, so then it's no longer going to have the Esnan status. Haim below Shinuyim. Beis Shammai Hatsiv Haim. Now, according to Beis Shammai, what do you do with the word Haim? So, Ahumi Baile Haim below Vladoseim. So what Beis Shammai will come to tell you is that the Haim is going to be only they, but not Vlados. Meaning, let's say that the Zona was given an animal, a female animal, and that animal then had children, had babies. So those babies are not going to have the Esnan status. In other words, it's Haim velo vladoseim. And Beis Hillel, Tarti Shamas Mina, Haim velo Shinuyim, Haim velo vladoseim. And what Beis Hillel will tell you is that I gather both points. Both the Shinui and the Vlados are going to both be not Esnan status, and they're both going to be derived from the word Haim. And yes, it's true, you can only make one drasha from a pasuk. You can't make multiple drashas. But what you'll have to say in defense of Beis Hillel is that basically that's the same point. In other words, once I have a derivative of the original and I don't have the original item, so then it does not have the Esnan Zona. Beis Hillel nami aksiv gam la Beis Hillel kasha. And a point that we made earlier in the Masechta, and we get to repeat again, and that is, what about the word gam according to Beis Hillel? Because again, according to Beis Hillel, anytime you make a shinui, that's it. You've acquired the item. And so the gam over here is not expanding. And it's not including anything. And the Gemara says, Taka, that's a question. Meaning, according to Beis Hillel, gam is going to be a kashya. Good. And we'll leave it off at that. But meanwhile, what did we just learn together? That according to Beis Shammai, shinui bim koma omedes. And we learn it from Esnan. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, Mayhi. Now we're up to number three. Meaning, there are three Tanaim all agree to this. So we're up to now Tana number three. So the Tanya Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Harishigazul Sal Shachitim Tachna Losh of Afa Vehifresh Meimenu Chala. So let's say you steal wheat, you grind it, you knead it, you bake it, and now at that point in time there's a mitzvah for freshes Chala. Interesting note over here, by the way, the mitzvah of freshes Chala comes before the baking, meaning you should already be mafresh Chala while it's still dough. Okay. A point of consideration, but I'm gonna steamroll past that point because I just want to get to the larger point. So v'hifrish mimenu chala, so ketzam avarch, ketzam avarch, lemanites. So now, normally, when you're mafrish chala, what do? You make a bracha. So over here, where you're making a bracha on something which is stolen. So how can you do that? Ketzam avarch lemanites. V'al zeh namar botzeh berech nietz Hashem. The pasuk in Tehillim says that when you make a bracha on something like that, you're mocking a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's ni'utz. It's something which is degrading. It's disgusting. So don't make a bracha. So now that means to say, so that even though what you've done is that you've made a significant change on the wheat, you stole the wheat, and you ground it, and you kneaded it. Well, even before the kneading, just the grinding by itself. That is absolutely a shinui. So what you should argue is that really it's yours. Really, really it's yours now. And again, what do you have to do? You have to make restitution financially. But in other words, but the item now belongs to you. That's what you could have said or should have said. And meanwhile, over here, the Braisa tells us that it still has a shame gzela, and you can't make a bracha when you do the hafrasha. That's because shinui bim koma omedes. Shinui did not make a kenyan. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar ma'i detani klal zam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar kol shevach sheyishbecha gazlan. So yadal yona ratza noto shivcha ratza omer hareisha chalafanecha. So let's say the gazlan has stolen something and he made a shevach in the item. So now the Gazlan's Yadol Yonah, the Gazlan's going to be in the driver's seat, which I know should make everyone uncomfortable. The Gazlan's in the driver's seat. Why in the world is he in the driver's seat? Is a Gazlan, right? Put him in the. I'm saying this, but Derech Mashal. Put him in the back of the car. Don't put him in the front of the car. Don't put him in the driver's seat. But meanwhile, the Braisa says that if he wants, he could just simply keep the shevach, or if he wants, he could just simply say Areisha Chalafanecha, meaning I'm going to return the item as is. Either way, so my kamar, so the Gemara says, even as we say that, what does that mean? I'm Rav Shesha Tachi kamar. Okay, so let's just say a sharper pshat, a better pshat, which is, Hishpicha noto shivcha, so that if he improves it, so what he gets to do is he gets to take the shavach, meaning that if he puts improvements in it, So that he doesn't have to return, that he gets to keep. Let's say for a simple example. He stole an animal. The animal, as he stole it, was 200 pounds. And then what he did is he significantly fed the animal, increasing its size to 300 pounds. So 100 pounds, that was his investment. So when he returns the item, he doesn't have to, 100 pounds he gets to keep. How exactly? You'll work that out financially? You'll work it out financially. But that shevach he gets to keep. Fine. And kichesh, and the point now of the brisa is, let's say, however, he didn't improve it, but just the opposite. He weakened it. He stole that 200 pounds, and now the animal's 100 pounds. Why is it 100 pounds? He wasn't feeding it properly, or he worked it too hard. Whatever the case is, now it's a 100-pound item. So, omer lo harisha chalafanecha d'shina mimkom omeg. So now what the Gazan gets to do is he says, here's your animal. Here's my animal. Are you out of your mind? You stole the animal at 200 pounds, and now it's 100 pounds? And now you just get to return it to me? So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is looking at you and saying, that's the halacha. Why? Shinui bimkoma omeid. Because even though, despite the fact that there was a change in an item, but that does not make a change of ownership. The owner still remains the original owner. He's the Marakama, the original owner. He remains the owner. It went down significantly in value because it went down significantly in weight. That's unfortunate. Okay. So, Ihachi Afili Shbiach Nami. So Amri Mimete Kanasashavim. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if that's true, so then what about Hishbiach? Meaning, if in fact the halacha is that Shinu Bim Kama Omeid, so when it goes from 200 to 100, you say, HaReisha Chalafanecha. If it goes from 200 to 300, so wouldn't we at that point then say that you must return the animal at 300 pounds? But I invested so much money, it doesn't matter. Shinu Bim Kama Omeid. Meaning the original owner is still the owner. So you have to return it to him at its new weight of 300 pounds. So to that, the Gemara says, yeah, but there we have to kind of shove him. Meaning that after the Ganav invested so much in that animal, he's going to want to return the animal. He's not going to want to return the animal. So therefore, what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim said, look, we're going to let you keep the Shevach. Otherwise, you will not be incentivized to go ahead and return the animal.
We say that would be the consequences. I mean, it's too bad for him.
I'd like to say that also. In other words, Takana Shavim tells us that we're gonna bend the rules in order to make it easier for him to do tshuva. Okay, yeah, I'm not saying it. The Gemara is saying it. So they'll figure out how to settle for the shevach. But the point is that the shevach he gets to keep the shevach. So the so good. Rabbi Yishmael Maihi, we have one more Tana that we need to do before finishing this. Again, this is a long list of Abayi, long. Five Tanaim long, of according to Abayi, who all are of the opinion that Shinui Bimkoma Omeid. And finally, number five is going to be Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael Maihi, the Tanya, Mitzvah Pei Allah HaFrish Menakama. So you want to do the Mitzvah Pei correctly. So you have a field. So it's very easy to do the Mitzvah correctly. And that is a portion off a corner of the field and tell the Aniyim, here, come, take, this is your corner. That's the correct way to do the mitzvah. Now, what if you decide you don't want to do it the correct way? So, lo, he frish min akama, so ma frish min omrim. So now let's say you harvested. So even though you didn't do the mitzvah ideally, but what you'll do is you'll take the sheaves and you'll give a portion over to the Aniyim as peya. Lo, he frish min omrim, so ma frish min akri, achalamirchu. So now, let's say that not only do I have the sheaves, but we already started the processing. They did threshing, and they now have the kernels. What they didn't do is that they didn't put the kernels in a pile and smooth off the top of the pile. Meaning, we don't know exactly how much we have. This is before me, Ruach HaKri. At this point in time now, again, you still want to give off peya to the Aniyim. So it's not too late, you could do so. Now, Mircho. Now, let's say you smooth off the top. You know now precisely how much you have. At this point in time, what kicks in? The requirement of trumos and maisros. Meaning, once we are now have the grain, and we know exactly how much grain we have. Miruach tells us how much grain we have because we smoothed off the top, and now we have a solid volume measurement of that which we have. So now you not only can, but you're obligated to now take off trumos and maisros. So now it's confusing because you have this obligation of trumos and maisros, and you also have peah. So what do you do at this point in time? So mircho meiser v'nosein lo. So you take off meiser, and afterwards you give to the aniyim their peah. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Af Mafresh Mina Isa V'Nosein Lo. So the even if we're at the point of dough, you go ahead and you are Mafresh Trumos Meisters, and also because we have dough, we're talking even about challah as well. And you give the aniyim their payah. Now you give the aniyim payah at this point in time. Consider, we've gone through a lot of physical change over here. Aside from the fact that we harvested and we removed the chaff and we're at the grain. Aside from all that, you also ground it up and you also made dough out of it. So you made significant physical changes in the item, and still the chiyuv of payah is still there. What is that telling us regarding shinui? In other words, shinui does not change the ownership of it, meaning you still have to give the payah portion over to the aniyim. Shinui is not konam, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So, Amalei Rav Papa LaAbaye. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, what an unbelievable thesis. That was fantastic. Okay, now I say that with a little bit of sarcasm, meaning Rav Papa is not impressed with what Abaye just did. Because what Abaye just collected an assortment of Tanaim, or all of the position, that Shinu b'mkama omedes. Is that the halacha? Of course that's not the halacha. The halacha is that Shinu is kona. That's the halacha. So you're taking basically a scattered view of five disparate Tanaim who are all telling us a position that is not the accepted halacha. That's exactly Rav Papa's point. Amalei Rav Papa LaAbaye, echbo kohani Tanaye, lishmein and kebe shamai. Great, mazel tov. So you've now made a collection of wacky shitas who all subscribe to Beis Shammai. Okay, but in other words, the halacha is not like Beis Shammai. So Amalei, so Abaye, in his defense, will say the following. Look, I'm going to go the other direction. Meaning, you mean to tell me that all these shitas over here, these five shitas, the truth of the matter is it's really four, because one of them is Beis Shammai. But you mean to tell me that I just found four random obscure shitas who agree to Beis Shammai and disagree with the halacha? Abaye says, I'll go in the other direction. I'll tell you that because I found a total collection of five Tanaim were all of the position of Shinu b'mkama omed, here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing the halacha is Shinu is not kona. I'm proposing that Shinu b'mkama omed. Maybe the halacha is like Beis Shammai. Or better stated, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel never argued over this point. Rava says, here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to push hard back on everything Abaye just said. Okay. So, Abaye had a thesis that we have all these Tanaim who hold that Shinu is not Kona and Shinu b'mkama omed. Rava's now going to say, look, I'm going to revisit everybody and I'm going to tell you Shinu is Kona. And these five Tanaim that you just showed me, these are exceptional cases. These are not standard shinui cases. And so what Rava's going to do now is that entire binyan, that entire argument that Abaye created, Rava's going to knock down the entire binyan. Let's go. So I'm a Rava Mimai. Dilmad kan lo kama Rabbi Shemam and Yehuda Asamela b'tzeva hol v'yachol avir al yidei tzafon. So case number one was the case of the Reishis Hagez, and it was dyed. And despite the fact that it was dyed, you still have to give it to the Kohen. Maybe we're talking about that case over there where the dyeing can come out in the wash, and it's not a real shinui. That's number one. Number two, I can look at Beis Shammai Hausam Ella Lagavo Mishum De Imis. And number two is Yesnan Zona. Yesnan Zona. Look, maybe shinui is kona, but over here, like, how distasteful! You're going to be using an animal that was a payment rendered for znus, and you're going to use that animal for carbon. I'll tell you that generally shinui is kona, but over here it's ma'is. It's disgusting to use something like that for a carbon, even though the truth of the matter is you acquired it. Nevertheless, it's ma'is. In other words, the standards for a carbon is just simply higher standards. That's number two. Number three, ad kan lo kama Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov hasam aliyim bracha mishum da'avalei mitzvah ba be'avera. Right, the stealing of the wheat, grinding it, and now doing the mitzvah of hafreshes challah. What I'll tell you is, how inappropriate to make a bracha of hafreshes challah over something which is stolen. I know shinui is kona, meaning we're going to argue that shinui really is kona, but mitzvah haba ba'avera, you're making a bracha over something which is stolen, it's wildly inappropriate. And that's number three. Number four, ad kan lo kami Rabbi Shimon Lazar hasam, so elabach hashad hadar. Over there, what happened is that the animal was at 200 pounds and it was reduced to 100 pounds. I know it was reduced to 100 pounds, but in other words, all is not lost. So what you'll do is you'll feed it and you'll bring it back up to 200 pounds. In other words, that's not a shinui. That's a shinui achozer. That's also not a good case study. And number five, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Shmuel Halsam ala le'inyan peya mishum dechsiv tazov yisera. And as far as the mitzvah's peya is concerned, what do we observe? That after you ground up the wheat, there's still going to be a chiyuv of peya? Yeah, you know why? The mitzvah of peya is different. Why? Because I not have one, but I have two psukim that use that when describing the mitzvah of peya, use the word tazov, leave it to the aniyim. Why the double language of leave it to the aniyim, leave it to the aniyim? Even after you made a shinua, you're still going to leave it to the aniyim. Peya is different because of the double tazov. Rashi over here is meticulous in terms of going through all the psukim inside, showing us the double tazov by peya. See Rashi over here. I'm obviously not going to go through it, just to add a consideration of time. Okay, v'chitem aligmar minei. So at least by the mitzvah of peya, so what do we see clearly? Shinu is not kona. Why? Because of the double tazov. Why isn't that serving as a precedent? So the Gemara says, because matnos aniyam shani ke debai Rabbi Yonasan, my time of the Rabbi Shmuel, mishum tekasav shino eno kona, odoma ba'amu kasav shino kona, and hachemishum tekhsiv tazov yisera. And this question was actually proposed, meaning what we're witnessing by the mitzvah of peya is that even after I grind it up, there still is the mitzvah of peya. Is it because shinui does not affect the change, or is it because of the double language of tazov? So the imtim salam time of the Rabbi Shmuel mishum dekasav shinui eno kona tavius is tazov yisera dekasav rachman alamali. And if in fact you're right that really shinui is not kona, so then why do I need a double language of tazov? Visula Rabban and Tazov Yisera Dekas Rechman Alamali. And according to the Chachamim, there's not going to be Mafish Peah Mina Isa. What am I going to do with the double language of Tazov? So, the Tanya, the Gemara says, I need it for the following, which is, Amavkir Karmo Vishkin Laboker Ubatro, Chai Beperit of Olos Vishicho Vepeah and Pater Mina Maisa. What do we do with the extra Tazov is the following, and it's an agricultural halacha. The agricultural halacha goes like this. I go to bed that night, but before I go to bed, you know, all the produce on my field, I'm going to be mafkir. It belongs now no longer to me. First come, first serve. Anyone who wants it can go ahead and take it. Now, why would you do that? Because what you're looking to do basically is a tax loophole. Tax loophole. Because once you're no longer the owner, and now once it's hafker, so it's no longer chayiv in anything. Not matnos aniyam, not in trumas amaisos. It's gonna be fully exempt. But you're clearly looking to subterfuge, and you're clearly going just trying to create a tax loophole for yourself. Now, how do I make that accusation? Because what happens is that next morning, early in the morning, so what happens is that you're going and you're collecting. Hishkim baboker, and you were boats there, and you were harvesting your grapes, right? The word boats is for grapes. So now, you're going to be chayiv in peret olo shichan peya. So you're going to be chayiv in all the matnos aniyim. Please forgive me. I'm not going to go step by step in terms of which each one of them are. However, you are going to be pater min ha-maaser. Okay, so it does still create a small tax exemption, but only from maaser. But in other words, but all the matnos aniyim, you're still going to be chayiv in. And how do I know that? Because of the extra tazov. So according to the Chacham, and what do I do with that extra tazov? A different halacha altogether, having nothing to do with making a shinui in the item, and still there's going to be a mitzvah of peya. Okay. Ad kan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. That was a long half. That takes us to the first half of today's daf. And we basically, a really long discourse and almost a doctorate on the part of Abaye, where Abaye says, I'm going to collect a series of Tanayim, five in total, who are of the position that shinui is not kona, but rather shinui b'mkoma omeid. That was Abaye. And what Rava did is that Rava totally disassembled that doctorate, that thesis. According to Rava, no, these are all exceptional cases. The baseline halacha is that shinui is kona, like our Mishnah taught us in the first Mishnah of the ninth parak of Baba Kama. Ad kan. That takes us to the first half of the daf. Okay, now let's at least begin the second half of the daf. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rishma, Allah, Iker, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. What was that case? That was the case of stealing the animal and working it to the bone. So you stole an animal at 200 pounds, and what you did is that you worked it too hard, you didn't feed it properly, and now it went from 200 pounds to 100 pounds. And now you go back to the owner and say, look, I'm really sorry, I stole your animal, right? Mea culpa. And now here's the animal. And now the owner looks at the animal and says, are you out of your mind? In other words, you stole it 200 pounds, now it's 100 pounds. You got to be kidding me. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, told us what? The Gazan now has the right to say, look, it's yours. Now, we just learned together that this may not be effectively a perfect shinui example, because it is a shinui achoz de labriaso. The animal can be fanned up again, obviously at a cost to the nigzal, obviously. Okay. So, but meanwhile, the Gemara quotes B'Shem Shmuel that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So, the Gemara is bothered because of the following statement that was made by Shmuel himself. And that is, that when do we do a Shuma? Not for a Ganav, not for a Gazlan, but only for Nezek. Okay, remember we did this in the beginning of the Masechta. And admittedly, that was 3 months ago. I'll allow for people to forget. When I say people, I include myself. So the obviously we shouldn't forget anything we learned, but this was 3 months ago that we did this. The halach is like this: if my animal damages another animal, reducing it to a carcass. So for nezek purposes, what do we do? So the balim are mitapa benevela. So if you recall, remember that halacha. That means that the owner of the animal that was damaged, the damage meaning that it was killed. So now, it's still, even as a carcass, it's got some residual value, whatever its residual value is. So the owner now gets to keep the animal. I'm not sure if he wants it. It doesn't matter. In other words, he keeps the animal, assessing its residual value. Obviously, now the owner, the mazik, the owner of the animal that did the damage, is now going to have to pay the balance. Now, if it's a short tam, it's chatzi nezik. If it's a short muad, it's nezik shalem. Whatever the damage is, in other words, the first thing you do is that you'll take off the residual value of the nevela, because that the owner still has that, and then whatever the balance is of the damage, that's going to be paid to the nigzal. In this case, the nizak. Okay, fine. But that's only by nezik you do this. You don't do it by ganaf, you don't do it by gzela. That's what Shmuel said. Oh, okay. Which now means what? Which means now that when it comes to a gzela or a ganaf or a gazan, we're not going to figure out its residual value, but rather you're going to be paying its full value at the time of the gzela. Okay, so what we are now stuck is between two statements of Shmuel. On one hand, Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Sorry, let me do that correctly. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which is that we are Haresho Chalafanecha. Here's your animal. And meanwhile, the halacha is that we don't do a Shuma, which means that you pay for its full value at the time of the theft. So Bisham la Rav da Amr ki kama Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hasam ba chasha da hadar lo kasha ki kama lachi ka Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar de shino bim kama ame ba chasha da hadar v'chi kama shmo hasam in shama lo lagadim v'lo lagazan el nizakim ba chasha da hadar. So according to Rava, I have the answer. I know what the answer is. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar when we could just simply fatten the animal back up again. It's a shinui ha-achoz de labriyasa. However, if we're talking about where the animal was, let's say, for example, it was killed, and so therefore you can't fatten the animal back up again. The animal's dead, so that's the shinoi she'enu chos libriaso, and then we're not going to do a shuma. And now what does the ganav have to do? What does the gazlan have to do? Pay its original value, and not appraise whatever the residual value is. Good. So according to Rava, it's glatt. But Ella by Damar ki kamar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar ba chashad al hadar kamar and Michael Meimar. But according to Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar will always tell you that you do a shuma. So now, according to Abaye, how you miyashiv Shmuel? So Abaye masni hachi amar v'yura mashmuel amar halachik Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'lei lo sfir lei. Okay, so according to Abaye, what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to work on our girsa a little bit. And the correct girsa is actually that the halacha, some say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. But if you were to ask Shmuel, he will tell you the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay. Good. Adkan, we are... That is Shmuel's position regarding Shinui, Shinui, Kona. According to Rav, it depends whether it's Chosel Abriyasa or it's not Chosel Abriyasa. Good. Next is Rav Yochanan. Where is Rav Yochanan stand regarding Shinui? Okay, that's the Amud Beis of today's daf. We're going to start the discussion. Amr Bichia Barab Amr Rav Yochanan Dvar Torah Gzela Nishtanis Choseres Beineha Shenemer Veishef Es Gzela Shergazal Mikol Makom V'im Tomer Mishnah Seinu Mishim Tekanos Hashavim. Now, Rav Yochanan will tell you that what if I make a shinui? So shinui is not going to create a kinyan. The pasuk says veheshev as gzela asher gazal. You return the gzela. Asher gazal comes to tell me, regardless of what state it's in, even though it's in a different state, it doesn't matter. You still have to return it. Oh, meaning that shinui is not going to be konan. Now the obvious question is, hey, wait one second. Did you remember our mishnah? Meaning the opening mishnah, the ninth parak, where the opening mishnah tells us that the if the gazan goes and steals and makes a shinui in the item, he doesn't have to return the item, but rather just simply has to pay its value at the time of the gzela. Okay, no, so how is Rav Yochanan? Rav Yochanan can't just simply ignore Mishnah. Our Mishnah is Takanas HaShavim. Meaning that Mi'ikar Hadin, really what you have to do is you have to return it, but the Chachamim stepped in and the Chachamim made a Takana. So Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachinan, did Rav Yochanan really say that Vamar Rav Yochanan Alachi Kistam Mishnah Tanan? Lo Hispikli No Lo Achit Sava Pator. So now, what about the Mishnah Chulin? The Mishnah Chulin also speaks of this idea that Shinui is Kona, as we discussed earlier this morning. Amalu Amud the Rabban of Rav Yaakov Ishmael Didimi Farsh Lemine the Rav Yochanan Kagon Shigazal Eitzim Meshubim Vasim Kalim the Avalei Shinui Chozal Abriyaso. So as far as what Rav Yochanan will do with our Mishnah, what Rav Yochanan is going to say regarding our Mishnah is that what happened is that you stole 2x4s. The wood was already. Was already shaped and shaven, and they already were now in 2x4s, and now this is shinu echozol abriyaso. This is something where you could just simply do it, undo it, okay? And on such a shinui, so that's where Rav Yochanan says that you're not konim in a Torah, but a shinu sheinu echozol abriyaso, a shinu that which is a permanent shinui. So that what Rav Yochanan will tell you is that that's the kind of shinui that of course you've acquired. Okay.
That's similar to Shmuel,
right? Yeah. So right, it comes out in this understanding of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan now is aligned with Shmuel. Correct. Tana Rabbanan Gazanim Avi Bri Vesichzira Ani Mekabel Mehem and Ruach Chachamim Nochehem Anu. If I have a Gazan, or if I have someone who lent with interest, and they wanted to do is they wanted to return the interest that they accrued, so you do not receive it from them, and if you receive it from them, the Chachamim are going to be very unhappy with you. Now, this all requires explanation. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mimei Rabbi Nishan's Mishnah Zu. So Rav Yochanan says that this what we just learned together, must be contextualized. And that is that this was during the period of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Ditanya Maisa, about the Mechash Bikish Lasos Tshuva, Amar Lo Ishto Reka, Imata Osa Tshuva, Afilo Avnein Enu Shokha. Nimna v'loas tshuva ba'osu sha amra gazan ma'aveh b'riva she'echzirah mekabla mehem v'mekabla mehem en ruach hachamim nocheh emenu. During the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right about 100 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, so during the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, there was a story. The story was told regarding a guy who basically made his entire parnasa on lending with interest. And after many years of doing that, what he wanted to do is tshuva, and he wanted to return. His wife said to him, "You got to be out of your mind. If you return the interest accrued and the interest that got us our life, you're not going to have anything. In other words, you're going to have to return everything back. The belt that you're wearing that came via interest. In other words, no, you're not going to return anything." So his wife successfully convinced him not to do tshuva, and he didn't do tshuva. So at that point in time, so Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, "You know what? This is going to be now. I'm going to make an institution that, and anyone who lent with interest and would like to do tshuva, so the tshuva will be allowed, even if he doesn't actually return the interest." Okay. So it only begs the question, by the way, how do you do tshuva? Meaning, if tshuva is allowed without returning the interest, so then what is tshuva going to look like?
No, exactly. You the Gazan, the Balribas, and the other guy who paid the Ribas is losing out on this.
Okay, right.
So what's good for one is not good for the other.
Okay, anyway, correct. Obviously someone's going to lose out. Anyway, so when the Braisa taught us that you're not accepting the Ribas you're not accepting the interest from the person who basically made his livelihood by interest, it's talking about that specific historical period of time. A lengthy discussion right here in Tosfos, by the way, meaning that this institution of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was specifically and exclusively only for his generation, or no? In other words, did it continue? See Tosus Divra Maskel Bimei Rebbe Nishnas Mishnah Zu. So Rabbeinu Tam, you can see the beginning of Tosus right over here. I'm just going to highlight. Rabbeinu Tam writes, Alola Fana Velola Acharav Eloladoro Dafka. He only did it for his generation, not for any other generation. It was something that his generation needed and only his generation needed. Okay, and it's funny, by the way, because right, we made this observation before. Meaning, anecdotally, all this is coming from based on one story. It must be, you have to say, that it wasn't because of one story. This story was representative of other such conversations that took place in multiple homes. I know it sounds like an entire takana was made based on one story, right? It's just simply not mistaber.
What if it doesn't apply to future generations? What if it teaches them?
Excellent question. Right? In other words, first of all, the general, we don't have the ability to make zeros and takanas nowadays. So, right, but in other words, but the general idea that the chacham has to see his generation, what their generation needs. Okay. But ena chinami, your point is excellent. So so what do we do over here? Let's pause over here. Now we're a little bit behind, but let's pause over here. Right, you're going to get into the discussion of what happens when dad steals and Rachmanis, he dies, and now you're left with a stolen item. Do you have to return it? And okay, so we'll pause over here, and we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Anyway, but let's quickly recap. Let's review ninth parak of Baba Kama. Right, how goes the Kama? The first parak on Gzela. And what's the halacha? The halacha is the shinu is kone, that you acquire if you make a physical change in the item. And meanwhile, Abayi spent the first part of today's daf going over the idea that not everyone's on board in that. In fact, Abayi is of the belief that really Shino bim kama omed, and Shino is not going to be kone. And he put together five tanaim were of the position that Shino bim kama omed. Meanwhile, Rava dismantles that entire argument. Rava disagrees. He says no, that really Shino is kone. And these cases over here are unusual cases. And now, what does Shmuel stand by the halach of Shino kone? And where does Rav Yochanan stand by the halach of Shino kone? And we're right now in the middle of discussion of where does Rav Yochanan stand on this topic.